Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alamin. Wassalatu wassalamu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Amma ba'd. We continue our classes in Kitab al-Tawheed alladhi huwa haqqullahi ala al-abid by the great scholar and Imam Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala. We begin this morning seeking the aid and the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, reading from the chapter the author he has entitled Babu ma ja'a fi at-tatayyur. Babu ma ja'a fi at-tatayyur. The chapter with regards to the clarification of that which has come from the prohibition of at-tatayyur. And it's the meaning of the chapter title. At-tatayyur. At-tatayyur. It means to take evil omens and to believe in superstitions and the likes like this. So the author, he is mentioning this chapter to clarify some of the evidences that have come, mentioning the prohibition of this affair and likewise the threat with regards to that. And that this is something that is contrary to at-tawheed, and it decreases and brings deficiency to the creed, and it is based upon falsehood, and it is not a correct way. And likewise, the author, he is clarifying that this is something that was known and from the corrupt aqa'id, al-aqa'id al-fasida, al-batila, that had been present amongst mankind for many generations and for a long time. And it is at-tayyara aw at-tatayyur. And this is to believe in evil omens, to believe in evil omens and to be superstitious and to believe in superstitions. And this word at-tayyara, it comes from the same word as the word bird, yani at-ta'ir aw at-tayyir. وَأَرْسَلَ عَلَيْهِمْ طَيْرًا أَبَابِيلَ. Allah, he mentioned it in the Quran, in Surah Al-Fil. طَيْر. طَيْر means birds. It means birds. From طَيْرًا. طَارَ يَطِيرُ. To fly. And a bird is a طَائِر. A bird is a طَائِر. So this word is similar in its root, where it has come from. And this is because in the origin of this issue with the Arabs is that they used to have these superstitions specifically with birds and in other aspects likewise, but it began in this manner. And if one of them was interested in getting married, or if he was going to travel, or if he was going to partake in some beneficial endeavor in business and the likes like this, before he would advance upon that, he would yatatayyar. He would make it tatayyur or tiyara. And it is mentioned that what that means is that he would go out to the birds and he would stir them up in a manner that they knew. And if the birds fly to the right, he would take this as a good sign and a good omen, and that his endeavor will be good. And he should partake in that and hasten. And if the birds fly to the left, he would take it as an evil omen and a bad sign, and he would not continue on his way. He would not travel, or would not get married. He would not do that affair that he had intended to do. So it began in this manner, and they called it the tiyara, or the tayyur, and it's from this aspect here. But likewise, this is something that was even more general than that. And that they would have superstitions with other things besides birds likewise, or even with animals or the likes. If an animal would come and go this way or that way suddenly, if he was just going on his path and suddenly he seen an animal like a gazelle and the likes suddenly dart to the right, then he would take it as a sign for this. And if it went the other way, he would take it as another sign. And they had issues like this. They had issues like this. Or if he was about to endeavor on something, and then he heard somebody calling out and saying some good words, he would take that as a good sign that he has to go and that he should go. And then if he heard somebody saying some bad words or something foul, then he heard that, then he would not go in this manner. And he would base his movements and his actions on these affairs. He would base his movements and his actions on these affairs. Taking evil omens. So this is something that the people of knowledge, they mention, is التشاؤم. التشاؤم بالمرء أو بالمسموع أو بمعلوم أو بالمعلوم. التشاؤم is to take evil omens. And it was done by seeing something, or by hearing something, or likewise by some special event or time or place and the likes like this. By seeing something, like by seeing the birds, for example. By hearing something, likewise they had other evil omens that they would take if they heard certain animals or certain sounds, or if they heard, for example, a certain bird. If they heard a certain bird in their neighborhood or in their area, they would also take evil omens from that, especially the buma, especially the owl. So they had taken evil omens with these sounds that they heard, likewise, and also things that are known, like certain times or places and the likes. And this is something that is even present today. And we see that many people, they have superstitions, even in this land. Even in these lands, there are superstitions. And these affairs, they still are present in the creed of the people who have no knowledge of it, Tawheed, and do not know the reality of the creation and the right of the Creator and the power and the might and the strength and the superior command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that nothing happens except with His permission, in a manner that He has decreed and legislated, and everything in this world is created by Him and belongs to Him and under His command and decree, and nothing happens because a bird moves this way or a bird moves that way, or nothing happens because of sounds and the likes like this or superstitions, but rather it happens by the decree and the command of Allah. By the decree and the command of Allah. From these superstitions is the superstition with numbers that we have in these lands. And they have some people who are afraid of the number 13. And even to the extent that you will find that some of their buildings, they will not have the 13th floor. Then they think that this is a bad and evil omen. So you will find that they have 11th floor and the 12th floor and then suddenly the 14th floor. Or even places on buses and the likes like this, they'll skip the number 13 because they take it as an evil omen and a superstition. And even if that number were to fall on a specific day, it's even more evil for them. What day is that? Friday. On Friday, and if it coincides with Friday the 13th, then this is a day that they take evil omens and they're superstitious about. And Allah knows best. Some people have mentioned that this is because they claim that Isa, he was killed on that day. That's what they claim. And Allah knows best about where it originated. But in any case, this is from the creeds of the people of falsehood. Other superstitions, likewise, some people have in these lands is with regards to brooms. If a broom touches their feet, they will take it as an evil omen. They take it as an evil omen. And that they believe that some major event will happen to them, or a calamity like a car wreck will happen to them, or that somebody will be harmed or lose life in their family or their loved ones. Simply if a broom that you sweep with, if it touches their feet. But they have a way to get around that likewise, and they believe, some of them, and I've met them, I've seen this with my eyes and in these lands. And the person who the broom touches his feet, then he will hasten very frightfully and spit on the broom. And he'll spit on the broom. And this is supposed to counteract the evil that will befall him and protect him from the evil of the broom touching his foot. So this is from those corrupt creeds and beliefs, the beliefs of falsehood. But many people, their hearts are attached to these affairs. And from this aspect, it is deficiency in Tawheed. Deficiency, because a person who will attach his heart to that thing and believe that this thing that he sees or hears, or this thing that is known from its time, or the likes like this, it has an effect on the creation, bringing about good or bringing about evil and the likes like this. He's afraid of it, and his heart is not attached to Allah, rather it's attached to this thing. So from this aspect, this is a great deficiency in a tawheed. And it is from a shirk al-asghar, a shirk al-asghar. And likewise, it's from taking the means that are not legislated, or believing in means, or making something a means, a sabab, and it is not legislated, not in the decree of Allah Azza wa Jal, al-Kawni, the universal decree, and not in His legislation. And this has proceeded in this book. We have studied the issue of al-asbab, al-asbab, the means, and the causes, and the effects of affairs, and that they must be legislated in the deen of Allah Azza wa Jalla and in His legislation, or they must be decreed in His universal decree, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. These are the proper means. And then a believer, he will take these means along with putting his trust and reliance upon Allah alone, and not relying upon the means, rather taking the proper means that are legislated. Like from the means of curing a sickness is to read the Quran with the intention of curing, and this is called ruqyah. And this is the legislative means. This is the legislative means for curing the disease that is present. And likewise, that is the legislative means for being protected and taking in prevention from diseases as well, or sickness and harm in the ayn. So this is a legislative means that is legislated by Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. So a believer, whenever he makes the ruqyah, he will not depend upon the ruqyah, but rather he will depend upon Allah, and he will take those means that Allah has legislated. This is from the review of that issue. And likewise, there are universal means as well that Allah has decreed in the universe. There are certain herbs, and there are certain elements and the likes, or certain things that Allah has decreed that are beneficial for the human being. And it has been tried and tested and known by the reality that certain herbs are beneficial for certain diseases or certain ailments and the likes like this. So these herbs, by taking them likewise, or taking this particular type of medicine, is specific or good for this particular sickness, then this is known, and it's known and tried, then this is from the universal means that Allah has decreed. So therefore, likewise, a believer, he will take these means as well. He will take these means as well, but he will not rely upon them. He will not rely upon them. He will rely upon Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Also, with regards to this issue of taking the means, one must also remember and know with certainty that while taking these legislative means, and not inventing means or innovating new means that are not legislated and not decreed, and also along with putting the trust in Allah alone, and knowing that Allah, He is the one who brings the benefit or the harm, likewise one must also know with certainty that Allah, if He wills, He can make those means not work. He can cause those means that are decreed and led to not benefit. So they benefit by His means, and they benefit as He decrees. So they can benefit if He wills, and even if He wills, those means will not work in that manner. And likewise, we see that if a person, he wanted to burn some wood, what would he do? He would start a fire. From the means of burning wood is to start a fire. But not all times does fire burn. And we've seen that with the great and noble Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. He was thrown in the fire, but it did not burn him. So those means were not applied at that time by the decree of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. So those means, the means of burning, and if somebody, he gets in the fire, is going to be burned. And this is because from the means of becoming burned or being burned is to go into the fire. But Allah Azza wa Jalla, as He wills, and according to His knowledge and wisdom, He can decree that and will that those means will not have effect. Will not have effect. So this is something likewise to keep in mind with regards to these affairs. But in any case, these people here, the superstitious and those who take evil omens, they have taken things as means that are not means. They're not the means. They're not the causes for bringing about good, nor for bringing harm. So they have innovated in this manner, and this is a type of shirk al-asghar, along with their heart being attached to other than Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Along with their hearts being attached to other than Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. So there are two issues with regards to this, the people of knowledge they mentioned. One of them is worse than the other, and both of them are bad. And that is that a person, he will believe in them. He will believe in these affairs. For example, if he is going out about to travel, and he sets out on the path, and then he sees a wreck, and he takes it as an evil omen or evil sign in his path. There's a wreck, or he's going down the street ready to travel, and he sees a truck full of crashed cars, or something like this, and he will take that as an evil omen. So and then he will stop, and he will go back, and it will affect him, and he will leave off that thing that he was already determined to do. This is called a tatayyur, and this is a dhira. This is taking the evil omens, and this is being superstitious. So the superstition is the one that affects the heart until the person, he stops doing what he had determined to do. That it he stops doing what he's determined to do. Or if it is something that carries him to do likewise something that he was not sure of. And this is called a tatayyur, or a tiyara. And in the people of knowledge, they mention at the sha'umu, يعني الذي يحمل على الإقدام أو الإحجام. It is whenever a person, he takes evil omens, but it causes him to act. It causes him to act, either to proceed in something, or to stop, and to stop from doing something. This time is called تطيور. The other one, which is lesser than this, is if he saw that, and it affected him, but he kept on going anyways. He kept on going anyways. He saw this issue, and then he thought about that, and then after that his heart is affected to that. Although he kept on going on his journey, from that point on he is worried about that, and his heart is in distress about that, and he is not certain about himself, and he's afraid that something may happen because he saw that which he saw in the likes like this. So although it did not stop him, it's still affecting his heart, and his heart is still attached to that issue. And this one here is no doubt is lesser than the first one, but it could lead. Maybe he is going and he sees those cars like that, and then he continues, but it's still in his heart, and he's thinking about it, and he's worried, and his heart is in distress about that. And then maybe a few more miles down, he sees another one. So the first one didn't get him, but the second one got him for sure. So now he stops, and he goes back, and he leaves off his journey based upon these evil omens that he's taken. Or if they see birds and the likes like this going all of a sudden, flying yani, quickly or in a strange manner, they will take evil omens from this. So if it stopped him immediately, this is called superstition, and this is tatayyur or tiyara. But if he were to not even apply that, but it affected his heart, he kept thinking about that, and he was worried about that, and he was it put him in distress, and the likes like this is still considered from a tiyara, or from taking evil omens, or from taking evil omens. The author, he mentioned some verses, and he began by saying, وَقَوْلِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى, and the statement of Allah the Most High, أَلَا إِنَّمَا طَائِرُهُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرُهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. And this is with regards to Musa alayhi salam and his people, and Fir'aun. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned about them, وَلَقَدْ أَخَذْنَا آلَ فِرْعَوْنَ بِالسِّنِينَ وَنَقْسٍ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَذَكَّرُونَ. That verily we have taken Fir'aun and his people with years of drought and loss of crops and fruits, so that they may remember, meaning take heed and take admonition. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he tried Fir'aun and his people with this drought and this seasons of no water and no rain, and likewise no crops, and they were in hardship and difficulty. And then they say, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned about them, فَإِذَا جَاءَتْهُمُ الْحَسَنَةُ قَالُوا لَنَا هَذِهِ. And if good times came, and if the rain had come, and the wealth and the prosperity come, they say, لَنَا هَذِهِ, this is for us. يعني نحن جديرون بهذا, نستحق هذا, this is something that we deserve. This is something that we deserve. And we're rightful for this. And this is something that is because of our goodness and the good that we have with us. So they thought that the good that they had was because of their own efforts and the likes like this. And then Allah says, وَإِن تُصِبُهُمْ سَيِّئَةٌ يَطَيَّرُوا بِمُوسَى وَمَنْ مَعَهُ. And if some calamities befall them, or hardships, meaning like the rain does not come, or they are inflicted with bad times and with a drought and the likes like this, then they say this is from Musa and those with him. And they claim that Musa alayhi salam and those who believed along with him from Bani Israel, they are the cause for this drought, and they were the cause, and they take evil omens with them. So whenever good times came to them, what did they say? They ascribed it to themselves. Oh, this is because we're so good, and because we deserve this, and we're favored in this manner because of our righteousness and our goodness. We deserve this, and this is so good. And whenever the drought came, they blame it on Musa alayhi salam, and they take evil omens with him, and with those along with him. So at this time, Allah, he mentioned, أَلَا إِنَّمَا طَائِرُهُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. But rather their evil omens are with Allah, meaning that this is a decree from Allah Azza wa Jal. The drought and the loss of wealth and prosperity and the lack of crops and the likes like this and the rain not coming, this is from the decree of Allah Azza wa Jal. And likewise, the good that they have, everything that they have is from the decree of Allah Azza wa Jal. وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرُهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ But the majority of the people, they do not know. So in this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is clarifying the false creed and belief that they had before, Fir'aun and his people. And this is clearly before the Arab, that they had this superstition and taken evil omens. And also in the previous nations. So this is a corrupt creed that had been in existence for a long time and a long period. And likewise, this is a clarification that these affairs are with Allah. Allah, He is the one who decrees these affairs. They do not happen because of evil omens, but rather they happen because of the decree of Allah Azza wa Jal. And this is from the worst type of evil omen or having superstition, that a person would believe that the prophets and the followers of the prophets, alayhim as-salatu was-salam, they bring evil and they take evil omens from them. When in reality, it is the prophets that have been sent with nothing but goodness, and they have been sent with light and guidance from the Lord of the worlds. And these people, they are so corrupt and wicked that they have taken evil omens with these ones. And even to this day, we see that there are people taking evil omens with the people of knowledge and the righteous. And they claim that much of the evil that has befallen them and their society is because of the scholars or the people of knowledge, because they're backwards and they're prohibiting the people from advancing in society and the likes like this, because they're thinking backwards, or so they claim. And this is from falsehood. But rather, all of these affairs, they're decreed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is incumbent upon an individual is to believe in that and then to take the means that are legislated and to take the means that are allowed, and to trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The author after this, he mentions, وَقَوْلِهِ قَالُوا طَائِرُكُمْ مَعَكُمْ قَالُوا طَائِرُكُمْ مَعَكُمْ And the verse it continues, أَإِن ذُكِّرْتُمْ بَلْ أَنْتُمْ قَوْمٌ مُسْرِفُونَ And this verse is with regards to Ashab al-Qariya in Surah Yasin. And there were messengers that came to them, three of them. And they took evil omens with them likewise. And they believed that the bad that had befallen them was because of the presence of these messengers. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He clarified that in this verse, قَالُوا طَائِرُكُمْ مَعَهُ They said, rather, your evil omens are with you, meaning because of you. The reason why the evil that has befallen you is because of your sins. And the reason for the evil and the hardship that you have fallen into is because of your disobedience. قَالُوا طَائِرُكُمْ مَعَكُمْ Meaning that these affairs, they happen because of your own hands and what you have worked. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned about this. ظَهَرَ الْفَسَادُ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحَرِ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِ النَّاسِ That evil has appeared in land and in sea because of that which the people's hands have earned, meaning from evil. So the evil that had befallen them was because of themselves, and because of their sins, and because of their disbelief and their disobedience. So in the first verse, we see that these affairs are decreed by Allah. And we see likewise that from the means of these evil things to befall the people is because of the sins and the disobedience that they fall into. أَإِن ذُكِّرْتُمْ بَلْ أَنْتُمْ قَوْمٌ مُسْرِفُونَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned that rather this evil omens are with you. And this is what they claim. If you're reminded, meaning whenever the messengers, they reminded their people, and this is what they claim for them. They're only reminding them and reminding them of the promise of Allah and the threat of Allah. And then at this time, they say they take evil omens with them because they're admonishing them. Or whenever they're admonished and they're reminded, you take evil omens. And in these people, they are qawmun musrifun, meaning people who have transgressed the limits. And this is a great transgression, again, to claim and to believe that the people of Khayr, and the best of them, the prophets and messengers, that they bring evil, and that there are means to bring about evil, and that they have evil with them. In any case, we see this issue of Tiyara is present in the previous nations. And it is something that is established in amongst the nations, the Arab from them and the non-Arab. But specifically in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and these affairs, they were well known and they were practiced and applied. And these were from the creeds or from the aqa'id of Ahl Jahiliyyah, from the people in the days of ignorance. The author, he mentioned another narration. Now he says, the first narration, he says, And Abi Hurayrata radiallahu anhu, Anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qala la adwa, wa la tiyarata, wa la hamata, wa la safar. أخرجاه وزاد مسلم ولا نوء ولا غول. He mentioned the narration of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, لا عدوى. لا عدوى. العدوى, the people of knowledge, they mentioned انتقال المرض من المريض إلى الصحيح. من المريض إلى الصحيح. That العدوى, it is that a sickness or an ailment, it will move from the sick person to the healthy person. It will move from the sick person to the healthy person. This is something that is established. La adwa. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, La adwa. There's no adwa. But what the people of knowledge have mentioned about this, any la adwa, meaning ala ma yataqiduhu ahlu jahiliyyah, meaning in accordance to what the people of jahiliyyah they used to believe. And that is that the people of jahiliyyah that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent to, they used to believe that the sickness, it would move naturally by itself. It would go from the sick person to the healthy person naturally by itself. It's something that this occurred without the decree of Allah. This is how it is. And if one were to be near the sick person, it would come to him like this, based upon this issue here, al-adwa, or contagion. And they believe that that happened. And they believe that that happened, not by the decree of Allah, because this is the issue of that disease. That disease, it moves naturally like this by itself. This is what they believed, that the disease had the ability to afflict people in this manner, not by the permission or the decree of Allah, not by the will of Allah. So this is what is being negated here. The people of knowledge, they have differed about this affair, but many of the people of knowledge have mentioned this position. Yani that what is being negated here is the creed of Ahl Jahiliyyah, not the fact that there is something that is considered contagion. They did not, the majority of the people of knowledge, they have not had that position or believing that there is no such thing as contagion, but rather they affirm that. From the first of them, Al-Bayhaqi, he died in the year 458. And even before him likewise, and after him also Ibn Salah, and he died in the year 463. And many of the scholars after him, and Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, and likewise Ibn Qayyim, his student, and other than them, and then from our era, we have Shaykh ibn Baz and Shaykh al-Thaymin. If one were to open this chapter and any explanation that is written, a written explanation that is printed, he will find that they have chosen this position, Shaykh Abdul Razak and Shaykh Abdul Muhsin, and likewise Shaykh Abdullah ibn Humayd, and also Shaykh Sa'di, and also Shaykh Sulaiman al-Ruhaydi, and a number of them, that this is the position, that there is something called contagion, there is something called adwa, but it only occurs by the permission of Allah. It only occurs by the permission of Allah. And possibly it will not occur likewise by the permission of Allah. So this is a means for getting sick, but it's not the reason for getting sick. The reason for getting sick is because it's the decree of Allah, but it's from the means. It's from the means, and this is something that has been established, and there are many evidences with regards to this. So he says here, لَأَدْوَى, this is the first case, وَلَا طِيَرَى, and no طِيَرَى. طِيَرَى is superstition, taking evil omens. This is likewise, it does not have an effect. وَلَا هَامَى. At Hama, the people of knowledge, they mentioned that this is an owl. This is an owl, a booma. And they used to have false creeds with this, and from them, is that they will believe if the owl landed on their home or near their home and they heard it, they believe that the owl is informing them that they will die soon, or that somebody in their family will die soon. That this is what they believed. If they heard the owl, if they heard the sound of the owl, or if it was on their home, if somebody seen it on their home or in their or near their house, then this is what they believed. They would become very frightful, and they would become very afraid, and they would be affected by that. And they would think that owl is coming to inform them. The fact that he landed on their home or that he is near their house, he is informing them that they're going to die now. They're going to die very soon, or somebody in their family will die soon. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, La hama. There's no creed and false creed in the hama likewise. There's no effect in this. This is not real. This is not true. And likewise, he said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wala safar. Wala safar. Safar is the month. When does it come? After Al-Muharram, the second month, in the Islamic calendar. So they used to also have some false creeds with regards to that. and they believed that there are evil omens and bad things would happen in this month, and they would not travel, or they would not get married, so on and so forth in this month, and they had superstitions and evil omens that they believed in that were related to this, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he negated that. Wala safar. And there are other also creeds that they had with regards to these affairs. We just mentioned them briefly. Wazad al-Muslimun, also Imam Muslim, he added to these wordings, wala nawa, wala ghul. Wala nawa, wala ghul. And nawa, the nawa is a singular of al-anwa. What anwa, these are the stages of the moon. And in the stages of the moon, there are also stars that are related with the stages of the moon. There are stars that coincide or move with this stages in this, and they used to know them, and they had names for them, and they believed in the effect of these stages. Whenever the moon was in this stage and this star was present, they believed certain things, and they would have evil omens with this one, and they would take they would have superstitions that they would believe in based upon the stages of the moons and the stars in the sky. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he clarified that that's likewise falsehood. That likewise is falsehood. وَلَا غُولَ الْغُول. The people of knowledge, they mentioned that this is the ghoul. In English, they call it ghoul, right? The ghoul. What is the ghoul? Ghost. Ghosts and ghouls. Like that they say in English, ghosts and goblins, ghosts and ghouls. Like that. This word here, الْغُول. It's a type of jinn. It's a type of jinn that they believed in, that had the ability to change colors and to change shapes, that would be specifically in the deserts and the likes like that, in the empty areas where they're traveling, and these jinn would mislead them and would trick them and deceive them, and because of them, and they had this specific creed with them, and that these jinn had the ability to misguide them and to destroy them and bring them to destruction, and they're very afraid of them. And the likes like this. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also is clarifying that this is not correct. That it's not the jinn that have this ability, but rather the guidance is in the hands of Allah, and the things are by the decree of Allah. So they should not be afraid of these affairs. And not negating the existence of these jinn, but rather negating that they have this specific ability to harm, and that one should fear them. But rather a believer, or rather a person, he should fear Allah alone. So these affairs, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam negated them, or negated the creed that the people of Jahiliyyah had with regards to them. And then he says here, rahimahullah, wa lahuma an Anas radiyallahu anhu annahu qala Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam la adwa wa la tiyarata wa yu'jibuni al-fa'al. Qalu wa ma al-fa'al? Qala al-kalimatu at-tayyiba. And then the author, he mentioned another narration from Anas radiyallahu anhu wa lahuma, meaning also in Bukhari and Muslim, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, again he said, la adwa, there's no adwa, any meaning in the understanding of the creed of the people of Jahiliyyah, meaning that the adwa, it doesn't happen by itself, rather it happens by the permission of Allah, and if Allah wills, it will have an effect, it's a means, and if Allah wills, the means will take effect, and if Allah wills, the means will not take effect. Naam, wala tiyara, and no superstitions are taking evil omens. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, wa yu'jibuni al-fa'al. And I like al-fa'al. Al-fa'al is to be optimistic, to hear something, and to be optimistic about that, or to hear some good. They said, what is al-fa'al? Wa ma al-fa'al? What is this optimism? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, it's a good word. Al-kalima al-tayyiba. Al-kalima al-tayyiba. And they mentioned, for example, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would like this al-fa'al, and to have optimism, and to think that good things will happen, and to have trust along with that, and reliance upon Allah. Meaning, for example, whenever he is going to on a journey, if one were to call out, and he would hear somebody saying, Ya Rashid, O rightly guided one, like this, or so-and-so is rightly guided, then he would take this not as an omen of war, it would not be the reason why he goes, but rather he would be happy to hear this. And somebody said, the one who is guided, he's already going. He has already decided to go. So this is not like a tiyara, because a tiyara is whenever a person, he decides based upon this. The superstition or the evil omen, he will either stop or go based upon that. As for the fa'al, and having any good feelings about something, is he's already involved in something, and then he hears or sees something that is encouraging him, in this manner. So this is something that he would is a means to increase something that's already present, and to have a good feeling, and to feel good about the situation. This is something that the Prophet would like. And one time they're making a treaties with the Kufar, and a man named Suhail ibn Amr came to from their side. Suhail ibn Amr, he came from the side of the Kufar. Whenever he came, he said he told his companions, they told him, Suhail is coming. And the one who's coming to deal with us is Suhail. The Prophet ﷺ said, إِذَنْ أَمْرُكُمْ سَهَلْ. Suhail means the one that's easy. It makes it easy. He makes it easy. It's somebody who's easy and light. So whenever he heard that name and this person, he's the one who's coming to do it, he said, oh, then inshallah, our affairs will be easy. Our affairs are going to be easy. Like this, yani, having optimism. But he's going to do what he's going to do regardless. So he's not basing his movement upon that. So this is the difference between al-tiyara and al-fahl. Al-tiyara is haram, and al-fahl is good. There are more narrations with regards to this and more issues to discuss, but we will suffice with that, and we will take one fatwa. One fatwa, inshallah, that's beneficial with regards to this issue. So the question is, if somebody is trying with an ailment, and if somebody is sick, and it's known that that sickness is something that is harmful for him, and he's experiencing that harm, and he's trying with that harm, and then he wants to come around some other people, do they have the right to prohibit him from coming? For example, somebody is sick and he wants to come stay with them. Those people who he wants to stay with, they're not sick. Do they have the right to tell them, no, you're traveling, we would normally take you as a guest, but you're sick and you have that sickness. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned about this issue, fir min al majdumi firaraka min al asad. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he flee from the leper the way you flee from a lion. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, if the plague comes to a land, so or what would we do? And what is the ruling?
There
are many hadith in this topic. They won't allow him to stay with them. They'll tell him, no, you can't stay here. Everybody understand? We can read some of the fatawa of the ulama. So we have here Majmu' Fatawa of Shaykh al-Islam Taqiyuddin Ahmad ibn Abdul Halim ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullahu ta'ala. And this is volume number 24. And this is on page 284. And from the fatawa of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, he died in the year 728. So the question, he says, وَسُئِلَ يعني من Shaykh al-Islam, he was asked, عَنْ رَجُلٍ مُبْتَلَى سَكَنَ فِي دَارٍ بَيْنَ قَوْمٍ أَسِحَّةٍ. He was asked about a man who is tried with the sickness or disease, and he's living in a home between people or amongst people who are healthy. فَقَالَ بَعْضُهُمْ, some of them said, now, and he's sick, he's tried with the sickness, and he's living amongst people who are healthy. So he said, we're not going to allow you to live amongst us. Some of them, they said that. وَلَيَنْبَغِي أَن تُجَاوِرَ الْأَسِحَةِ, and it's not proper or befitting for you to be around the healthy people. You cannot live amongst the healthy people right now. And this person, he's trying with this sickness and this ailment. فَهَلْ يَجُوزُ إِخْرَاجُهُ. So the question, we understand the issue. The question is, now, is it permissible for them to kick him out or to remove him from their home? And there's healthy people in a home and one sick man, he'd been tried with his sickness. Some of the people now are saying, no, he can't live here. He can't live here. He needs to go somewhere by himself. He needs to, what is it called? Quarantine. quarantine himself. That's what they're basically saying. So is it permissible for these healthy people to tell him to leave? To tell him to go quarantine himself? What, quarantize himself? To go into quarantine? So what did Shaykh al-Islam ibn say? Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, what did he say? فَأَجَابَ نَعَمْ لَهُمْ أَنْ يَمْنَعُوهُ مِنَ السَّكْنِ بَيْنَ الْأَسِّحَةِ. He said, yes, it is allowed for them to prohibit him from living amongst the healthy. فَإِنَّ النَّبِيَّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ قَالَ. Because verily the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, لَا يُرِدُ مُمْرِضٌ عَلَى مُسِحٍ فَنَهَى. The one who has healthy camels, he should not bring, the one who has sick camels, he should not bring his sick camels to the healthy camels. لَا يُرِدُ مُمْرِضٌ عَلَى مُسِحٍ. يعني مُمْرِض is the one who has, his camels are sick. He has sick camels. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, do not bring your sick camels to the healthy camels. So then Shaykh al-Islam, he says, فَنَهَى صَاحِبَ الْإِبْرِ الْمِرَاضِ أَنْ يُرِدَهَا عَلَى صَاحِبِ الْإِبْرِ الصِّحَةِ. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam prohibited the person who has the sick camels to bring them amongst the person who has the healthy camels. مَعَ قَوْلِهِ, and this is along with his statement, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, لَا عَدْوَى وَلَا طِيَرَى. And this is along with understanding that statement, no adwa and no tiyara. وَكَذَلِكَ رَوَى أَنَّهُ لَمَّا قَدِمَ مَجْذُومٌ لِيُبَايِعَهُ أَرْسَلَ إِلَيْهِ بِالْبَيْعَةِ وَلَمْ يَأْذَنْ لَهُ فِي دُخُولِ الْمَدِينَةِ. And also it has been narrated from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam that whenever the leper came to him to take an allegiance, to pledge his allegiance to the Prophet with Islam, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the messenger sent someone to him to accept his allegiance, and he did not allow him to enter Al-Madinah. And he did not allow him to enter Al-Madinah. This is the end of the fatwa. I mean, this is very summarized. But we see that this is the position of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, and likewise Ibn Qayyim. And what they have mentioned is that the meaning of La Adwa is that there's no Adwa in the understanding of the people of Jahiliyyah, and that they believe that it happens without the decree of Allah, that naturally this the disease, it moves from one person to the other, naturally, by way of Mother Nature. Yani, this is what they believe, yani, naturally, بِطَبِيعَتِهِ المَرَضْ يَنْتَقِلُ مِنَ الْمَرِيضِ إِلَى الصَّحِيبِ بِطَبِيعَتِهِ. That's what they believe, without the decree of Allah. So what is correct is that, yes, it does move from one person to another. This is from the means of the sickness to move, is that one would come near the sick person. But that doesn't mean that everyone who comes near a sick person will become sick, because this is only the means. And those means can occur again if Allah wills, or if He wills, they will not occur. For example, some certain medicines, it's been established that they are a means to cure a certain disease. But somebody may take that medicine and not be cured. Because Allah, He did not decree for this individual or for this circumstance for those means to take effect. Just like Allah did not decree for the fire to burn Ibrahim alayhi salam. So this is in the hands of Allah Azza wa Jal. But these are the means. These are the means. So by believing in this, we believe in the means. And this is what is established. And again, I mentioned, because some people are spreading that this is not true. But in reality, we see that, as I mentioned, in our day, we have Sheikh Al-Albani. And there are many things to read about this. But we can summarize it, or we can go into detail. I'm going to leave it to the brothers. But Sheikh Al-Albani, he mentioned the same thing. And if somebody who wants to review, he can look in Silsila al-Sahiha in volume 2 on page 660. It goes into detail. And he's mentioning that there's no contradiction in these narrations. And he's affirming this issue, that adwa is in according to what they believed in that time. Not negating this issue, but rather the adwa is affirmed. Shaykh Ibn Baz, he mentioned this, the same thing. And Shaykh Uthaymeen, he mentioned the same thing. And it's clear in this chapter, he mentioned that. And if anybody wants to have any details about this, look in the chapter Kitab al-Tawheed and any of the explanations that are written today. By how many explanations do we have? Who's the first one to write an explanation of Kitab al-Tawheed? Sulaiman ibn Abdullah ibn Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, Taysir al-Aziz. And there he mentioned the same thing. And he mentioned some of the statements of Ibn Qayyim. And then who summarized that work after that? And this is the grandson of Shaykh Muhammad. After that, Shaykh Abdul Rahman ibn Hassan, also in Fath al-Majid, same thing. And it's same thing, that it's established, there is adwa, but it's only a means. And the means will take effect if Allah decrees, or if Allah decrees, it will not take effect. So therefore a person, he's not afraid of the contagion, he's afraid of Allah. And if he gets sick, it's not because of the contagion, it's because of the decree of Allah. But the issue here is that this is from the means. This is from the means. This is from the means, and that is established. So believing in the means is very important. It's very important. Likewise, after that, Shaykh al-Fawzan and Shaykh ibn Baz and Shaykh al-Faymin. And likewise, Shaykh Abdullah ibn Humayd and Shaykh Sulaiman al-Rahili. Shaykh Salih al-Shaykh, Ahsan also, Nam. I'm trying to remember, yani, Shaykh al-Albani, yani, a number from the people who mentioned that there's no adwa at all whatsoever. Yani, in our era, Shaykh Mubil, rahimahullah. And also, Shaykh Muhammad Aman al-Jami, he leaned toward that, or he mentioned that Wallahu Alam is best. But in any case, we find that none of them blamed the other or found fault with the other. And if you read, you will find, for example, after Shaykh al-Albani, he affirmed his position, and this is the way of the people of knowledge. He says, هذا الذي يظهر لي. This is what is apparent to me by gathering between the texts. Also Shaykh Muhammad Adam Ethiopi, rahimahullah ta'ala, he has the same position. And if somebody wanted to read about this issue, and he from the most detailed explanation about this and mentioning the differences of opinion, Shaykh Muhammad Ali Adam Ethiopi, rahimahullah ta'ala, and his explanation of Sahih Muslim on this verse, on this hadith. And he mentioned 6 different positions. The people of knowledge throughout history, they have not only 2 positions, but they're the 6 different positions, yani, that they have taken with regards to dealing with this hadith. Some said that these narrations are abrogated. One abrogates the other. And others mentioned that one is better than the other. And others mentioned any they have combined between them. And the way they combine between them is in different manners. And the likes like this. So the issue is not only that there's 2 positions, but rather there's even more than that. There's even more than that. But what is clear, and Allah knows best, is that what has preceded. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.